right. Good morning, everyone. Good to see all of y'all this morning in your bright, smiling faces. If you would, grab your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 3. And then also you can turn over just a couple of pages, in my Bible it is anyway, to Ephesians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 2. We've been in a series of messages over the last several weeks that we're calling Rest for the Weary. And if this is your first Sunday here during this series, we're glad that you're here. If you've been here all along, we're glad that you're here. But each week is really a standalone, just helps us to remember where we find true rest, and that is in Jesus Christ. I think we can all agree that there are a lot of people just running on empty in our spiritual lives, running on empty. Physically, we may be doing good, and we may be able to go 100 miles an hour, but when we really set back and we begin to look at ourselves inwardly, we realize that sometimes we can just run out of gas. Anybody feel that way? Anybody agree with that? It happens, and there's reasons why it happens. And so in week one of this series, we looked at Jesus' invitation to all of us in Matthew chapter 11, where he says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary, all of you who are burdened, come to me, and I will give you rest." There are times that we all need a good vacation, right? Anybody need a good vacation? I love a good vacation. We all need a good vacation, but in week one, we realize that even getting away on a good vacation, it may give us some rest physically, but it doesn't necessarily take care of the soul rest that we need, because true soul rest comes in our relationship with Christ, comes when we find out how to rest in him. And in week two, last week, we looked at the importance of good friends, how we were never meant to carry our burdens alone. We need people in our lives who will walk with us, who will do life with us. And when we find ourselves in a place where we just can't get to Jesus on our own because we are struggling, we're wore out, that we have good friends around us that understand the place that we need to be, and they will help us in our life get to Jesus. And today we're looking at another reason so many of us are tired, not physically, but again spiritually. Today the title of the message is Freedom from Performance. So as we prepare for this morning, as Shane already mentioned and told everybody, it's Father's Day. And so hopefully you know what Father's Day means around here. And that means it is time for Dad Jokes by Dave. All right. Are y'all ready? Here we go. Here's a couple of them for you. Did you hear about the scarecrow that won the very prestigious award? Yes? No? All right. Well, he won the award because he was outstanding in his field. Why did God not make our hands 12 inches long? They would be feet. Right, come on. I mean, these are so easy today. What do you call a toothless bear? A gummy bear. All right, so this one, how many of you like to sing in the shower? Anybody? That's where I do my best singing. We can admit it here. I love to sing in the shower. But what I've discovered over the years, that sometimes when you sing in the shower, you end up getting soap in your mouth, and that just becomes a soap opera. All right, so that's enough of Dad Jokes with Dave today. Hopefully you enjoyed those. So let's go back and just kind of start tying this into the message today. I was thinking this week, with it being Father's Day, that for a lot of fathers, there's a lot of different talents that fathers share, some have on their own. And as I was thinking about those, I was thinking that some dads have a way of answering questions that they really have no clue what the true answer is. But they can answer that question that comes maybe from their young children, older children. They can answer it in a way where it sounds like they know exactly what they're talking about. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You kind of give that, it sounds so good, it's believable, and you leave, think, all right, that was a good answer. Some dads literally can fix anything. It doesn't matter what it is, they can fix it. May take an extra row of duct tape, may need some extra baling wire, but with YouTube videos now, it's really easier to fix things. And some dads just have that gift. They can take anything that's broken and they can fix it. And don't even get me started on dads and grilling techniques. You get a bunch of dads together and they're talking about their grilling and how good they are at the food that they prepare. And I would promise you, we have a lot of dads in this church that if the opportunity came up for them to win a big award through the Food Network, they could do it if they had their grill and their favorite spatula, maybe their best recipe. And so dads, there's a whole lot of talent there, a whole lot of things that they can do. But we need to be honest that sometimes dads have a tendency to try to act like everything is good, even when the wheels may be coming off, and especially spiritually. Now, throw that out at dads, but the reality is that's true for a lot of us. When the world around us is looking at us, those that may not know us the best, they look, and it looks like everything is going great in your world. And sometimes we can put on a good outward appearance, but inside we're just struggling. Inside we're drained. Inside we're running on empty. And that happens in our lives. And it happens in our lives when it comes to the religious side of things as well. Why do we do that? Why do we pretend that everything is okay? You know, I don't know about you, but I am so glad that we now have maps on our phone. So if we want directions to someplace, we just plug in the address and our maps will get us there. Sometimes the maps can be a little bit off, but if the map is off, we can blame the map. But I remember the good old days when we would be on a trip, we'd be going somewhere, and we as drivers of the vehicle, dads especially, had to act like we weren't lost. We're just taking the scenic route. Because we don't want to admit that we need help in our lives. Sometimes we need help. Sometimes spiritually, physically, emotionally, we just need help. Sometimes we don't have it all together. And because of this, life can become, easily become, just a performance. Just a show. A show that we are putting on. Not just at work, not just at home, but even in our relationship with God. We feel like we have to be the strong one. We have to be the good one. We have to be the one that doesn't need help. We show up to church like everything is fine when we're secretly exhausted emotionally, spiritually, and relationally. And many times we find ourselves running on empty, out of gas. Maybe I just don't feel like I can make it another step. Today's message: freedom from the performance trap. How do we have freedom from performance? Where sometimes that performance, we think that we have to do the right things in order to earn favor with God. We have to do the right things to be in good standing with God. And I'm talking now on the religious side of things. We have to come to church so many times a year to have favor with God. We have to be involved in connect groups. We have to be reading our Bible every day. We have to be sharing our faith so many times a week with different people. And we come up with all these rules, which, by the way, every one of those is a good thing that we should be doing in our life, right? But it's when we begin to do those things out of performance to somehow try to earn favor with God that it becomes a problem. And I have to admit, I've seen this in the church, and it's very easy for us, even in churches, to put a guilt trip on people that you're not doing enough to earn favor with God. And can I just tell you that that's wrong? That's just wrong, and we're going to see that in our passage today. So look with me, if you would, Galatians chapter 3. We're going to kind of key in on the first five verses, but I'm going to read further than that, so follow along. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit to work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures look forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, "All nations will be blessed through you." So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scripture says, "Cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law." So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law, for the scripture says it is through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different from the way of law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law when he was hung on the cross. He took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for your word. And I thank you for this time of studying your word together. God, help us just over these next few minutes to hear what you have to say for each and every one of us. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. So the Apostle Paul in this passage is writing this letter to the Galatians to confront a growing problem in the early church. Believers were now turning back from the gospel of grace to works. And the reason that they were doing this was because of the Judaizers, the Jewish Christians, who insisted that the Gentile believers must follow the Old Testament law, especially the law when it comes to circumcision. So basically what they're teaching is that grace is good, but it's not enough. Grace is good, but there's more that you must be doing. And so Paul is a little bit frustrated here, and I love the way that he starts out, and he says, "Oh, you foolish Galatians." You can see the frustration. You can feel the frustration, and he's saying, "Who has cast this evil spell on you?" Basically, who is telling you this lie? You've been told the truth. Matter of fact, you've been told the truth in such a way that it's like a picture has been painted before you, and you can actually see what Christ did on the cross for you. You understand who he is. And so Paul's argument in the first five verses here is this, that you began your new life by believing in Jesus Christ, not by obeying religious laws. You received the Holy Spirit, which is God's presence and God's power. You have received the Spirit because of your faith, not because of the good things, the works that you have done. So why would you now try to continue your relationship with God by relying on your own strength? Why would you go back to trying to live a perfect life, to somehow earn favor with God, to earn special blessings from God? Why would you do that when you know better? Why would you do this in your life? His main point is very simple, but it's profound. The Christian life begins and the Christian life continues by grace. We sang about that a while ago. Grace. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful word. What a wonderful truth that when we receive God's grace, we receive all that he has. The same faith that saves us by grace is now the same faith that continues that salvation through grace. It sustains us. So the first thing that I want you to see this morning, if you're taking notes, is this, that grace is where it all begins. It all begins with grace. The Christian life begins with grace, not works, not effort, not good deeds, Not all the wonderful things that you could do by trying to keep all of the law, keeping all the Ten Commandments. I love this. See if you're honest with me this morning. How many of you have kept all the Ten Commandments this week? Just the ten. I'm not talking about the 600 plus that the Pharisees came up with that added on to it. How many of you kept all Ten Commandments this week? All right, I'm not sure you're awake. How many of you have blown at least one of them this week? All right, confession time. Start naming. No, just kidding. We're not going to do that, but that's a reality, isn't it? We cannot do enough good stuff, because if you miss one part, you miss it all. If you fail on one part, you failed on it all. And so God has given us the law, which shows us our need for Him and our need for His wonderful grace, because there's no way we can earn our salvation. You can't live good enough. You can't be good enough. You may be the best dad out there. You may be the best mom out there. You may be the best person out there. You may have gone all through the week, and you may have been, when I say how many of you kept all the ten, you may be able to go, I did this one, I did this one, I did this, I did it all right. But guess what? We all have failed at some point. We all missed the mark. And that's just a reality and a truth. And Paul is saying, remember that. Remember that you did not come to God. You did not come to salvation because of any good thing that you have done. You came because of God's grace. So the question is, what is grace? Well, grace is very simply just unmerited favor. It's God's goodness extended to us, not because of the good things that we have done, not because we have earned it, but because of His wonderful love for us. It's an amazing grace that He gives us. It's unearned, it's undeserved, and it is a gift to all that receive it. Grace is God's unmerited, it's unmerited favor, His favor towards us that we do not earn. It's God's goodness extended. So here's a very simple definition. You've probably heard this. If you've been in church very long at all, you've probably heard this many times. It is God giving us what we do not earn. Deserve. That's what grace is. We didn't deserve His grace. We didn't deserve His love. We didn't deserve His salvation. But He freely gives it to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. God didn't save us because somehow we earned it. I love this because there's no way that we impressed God enough that He says, oh, I like you. Come on into heaven. Spend eternity with me because you've done enough good stuff and I just love the way that you act and the way that you behave. That's not the way that it is, because again, we cannot do enough, but God freely gives us what we do not deserve. Listen to what Romans 3, 23 and 24 says. It says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in His grace freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. All of us have fallen short, but God through His grace offers us salvation. Titus 3, 5 through 7 says, He saved us not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. Because of His grace, He made us right in His sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. 2 Timothy 1:9, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was His plan from the beginning of time, to show us His grace through Jesus Christ. Listen, this is where your walk with Jesus begins. It begins with grace because of His love and that grace that is gifted to us. But that is also where it continues. It doesn't stop there. You didn't need grace when you just first believed, but we still need God's grace every single day. Don't we? Every day we need God's grace. Spiritual maturity doesn't come into our lives because somehow we receive God's grace, but then we mature beyond that, and now we're doing all these great things to keep our salvation healthy and to keep our salvation where it's not the way that it works. Spiritual maturity comes when we truly understand God's grace just a little bit more in our life, and a little bit more in our life, and a little bit more in our life, and we realize how much we need God in our life. And we are so grateful because of what Jesus Christ did for us so that our relationship with God can be restored, and we continue to grow in that grace, understanding that grace even more. And the more we understand that grace, the more that we understand who God is. And the more that we want to do these good things out of love for Him, not out of duty, not that we're trying to earn anything, but because of His wonderful love for us. I love this. You didn't come to Christ because you were good. You came because He is good. Listen to what Hebrews 13, 8, and 9 says. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And guess what? His grace is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And just as we needed His grace to come to Him in salvation, we need His grace each and every day in our life. The second thing that I want you to see this morning is that grace is fuel for our journey. Grace isn't just how we begin to walk with Jesus, it's how we keep going. It's not just the welcome mat into the Christian life, but it's the road that we walk each and every day. Galatians 3, verse 3, look what it says. After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Paul's question to the Galatians is a pretty powerful question, and it's a powerful question for us. You came to Christ in grace. Why are you now trying to earn more favor with God by good works? Why are you trying to somehow feel like and think that in your mind, I've just got to do more for God to love me more? Now, I know in the church, we would definitely never come out and say that, right? Because we know that that's the wrong thing to say, but sometimes in our lives, that's the way we feel that, man, I must not be good enough. I must not be doing enough. I must not be acting right. Or I'd be receiving more of God's favor, more of God's blessing in my life. Can I just tell you, that's not truth. You won't find that in Scripture where it says that. So Paul, in other words, is saying, why are you trying to finish in your own strength what God started in His grace? Can I tell you that that's a trap that the enemy would love for us to fall into? That you have to continue to earn favor with God to receive His grace. It's a trap. But we will begin to say things, man, if I just could read my Bible more. If I could just stop messing up in my life. You know, that one thing that just kind of keeps popping its ugly head up in your life. Why do I keep doing that? I know better. If I could just stop doing that. If I were a better Christian, maybe I would earn more of God's favor and things would be better. And that's not the gospel message. That's religion. And religion is always draining. Can I say that in church? That religion is always draining. If that's what we're basing our relationship with God on, is the religious rules, the religious things, I promise you, you will be running on empty. But it's when we are doing things out of the love that we have for God because of His wonderful love for us, that now serving is no longer a burden. We talked about this already. Serving is no longer a burden. It now is a joy to serve. We're going to see that in just a moment. But here's the thing. Every day we need grace to keep us going. Grace that picks us up when we fall, when we fail. Grace to love others when they're hard to love. How many of you know that? Never mind. Grace to forgive. You know, forgiveness is hard. It's difficult. But God gives us that grace to be able to do that. Grace to face trials. We are going to face trials in our life. But God gives us grace to face those, grace to rest instead of striving. 2 Corinthians 12:9 reminds us what Jesus told to Paul. He says, my grace is sufficient. I love that. My grace is all that you need. That's what he's saying. My grace is all that you need in your life. And my power works best in your weakness. Paul's response to that: so now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. You know what he's saying? I know that I have faults and failures. I know that I make mistakes along the way. But it's even in my weaknesses, God works best. He works best. And God says, my grace, that's what you need. You need to live in my grace. Because here's what's going to happen. If you're living in your works, you're living in the good things that you do, you're going to mess up. And now, what happens when you mess up? I didn't hit the mark. I didn't make it. And so now you'll start beating yourself up. You'll start looking down on yourself. And the reality is, in God's grace, he picks us up when we fail. And he helps us to move forward when we fail. And we don't have to live in the failure. And we don't have to start now figuring out how we got to make that failure right. Here's how we make it right. We come to the feet of Jesus when he says, come to me, come to me. We accept that invitation. We come to him and we rest in his grace. Grace is what empowers us to keep going, to grow, to walk in freedom and not in fear. So don't just celebrate grace at the beginning of your faith. We need to lean on his grace every step of the way. Then I want you to see this. Grace changes how we see ourselves. When we truly get a hold of this, when we can grasp God's grace in our life, it will change how we see ourselves. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, as we think about this grace. When you live in the performance trap, you're constantly measuring your worth by what you do, your successes. You're measuring your worth by your image or your status. You measure your worth by how others view you, but grace begins to break that cycle. Grace doesn't just change our relationship with God, but it will change how we see ourselves. It will change how we see ourselves in light of how God sees us. You see, through grace, you are no longer defined by what you've done or what you have failed to do. You're no longer defined by what others think or say about you. You're not defined by the pressure to do enough, to be good enough. You're defined by what Jesus has done for you and who Jesus says that you are. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace. Did you get that? That you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things that he planned for us long ago. I don't know if you caught that or not, but he says over and over that you are saved. Why? Because of God's grace. Not because of the works, not because of the things that you have done. But here's where I want us to land here for a moment. Look at verse 10. He says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. I love that. We are God's masterpiece. That word masterpiece is powerful in Greek. It's the word poema, where we get the word poem or work of art. So what he's saying here is you are God's work of art. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to your neighbor, look them eyeball to eyeball, and say, you are truly a work of art. Go ahead, say it. Have fun with it. You are truly a work of art. Now, sometimes we say that to people in a bad way. Boy, you are truly a work of art. But notice what he says. You are now God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. You are God's work of art. Not because of what you have done, but because of what he has done and what Christ Jesus has done for you. You are his handcrafted creation. Listen, you are not a mistake. There is not a person in this room that is a mistake. There is not a person in this world that is a mistake. We were created by him, crafted by him. You are not a disappointment to him. You are a masterpiece. And my friend, when we can get this in light of God's grace, and we begin to see who we are in Christ, that we are his masterpiece, we are his work of art, then that begins to change how we think about ourselves. That gets us to the point where, you know, some people just don't like me. That's their problem, because I'm God's work of art. He created me. He's helping me to become more like him. I'm so glad that I'm not the way I used to be, but I'm not who I'm going to be, because he's still working in me. He's still working on me, and I don't care what the rest of the world thinks. Now, sometimes we do, because we can be mean, and that's a bad thing. But when they're just looking at our lives and who we are, we're God's masterpiece. I'm not trying to earn the favor of the rest of the world. That's not who we are in Christ. But this is what grace does. You know, when a child is adopted, one of the first things that often happens is their name is changed. They take on the name of their new family, not because they've earned it, not because they've come into the family and they've somehow proved themselves. They take on the name of the new family because the new family has welcomed them in out of love and says, now you are part of the family. And that's what happens to us when we come to Jesus Christ and we receive his grace. We are welcomed into God's family, and now our name has been changed. That's what grace does. It gives us a new name. You're no longer a failure. You're no longer not enough. You're no longer not worthy, but what you are is forgiven. You are loved. You are chosen. You are a child of God. And when we really get this, when we really believe this, it changes how we look at ourselves. When it sinks into our bones, now we're no longer performing, but now we are participating in the family. We're not performing to be in a good place in the family. We're participating as a member of the family. And then the fourth thing that I want you to see today is that grace frees us up to truly live. When we understand God's grace, we are freed up to truly live. When we stop living to earn God's love, then you're finally free to enjoy God's love. When we're no longer performing and now we are participating, we're not performing to rise up to some level in the family. We realize that we are in God's family and we are a child of God. Now we're not performing, but we are living as children of God, truly living. We're no longer wondering, have I done enough? Instead, you're resting in the truth that Jesus did enough for you and for me, that Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. And it's to him that we owe everything. Sin that left that crimson stain, it was Christ that washed it white as snow, not our performance, not the things that we have done to try to cover that up. And when we truly understand God's grace, that's when we really understand what it means when we say, my chains are gone. My chains are gone because I've been set free. That now has new meaning. We are truly free to live in Christ Jesus. And now that we're free to live in Christ Jesus, we live our lives with purpose. Don't miss this. Stay in verse 10. Jump down there with me. The last part of verse 10. He says, all this happens so that we can do good things that he planned for us. for us to do. We can do the good things that He planned for us to do. What does that mean? That now we have a purpose. Our purpose is to live for Him. Our purpose is to serve Him. Our purpose is to do the things that He has gifted us to do, that He has called us to do. As part of the body of Christ, we now function together as the body of Christ. And each one of us has a role to play in the body of Christ. And now we're doing it not out of service, not out of obligation, but we're doing it out of joy because we understand God's grace. And it's not a burden for us to do those things. So I wonder today, what would your life look like if you truly believed, if you truly believed this, if you truly understood what God's grace means for you? In Romans chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law, but instead you live under the freedom of God's grace." Now we need to understand that that freedom of God's grace is not the freedom to continue on sinning in our life, but that freedom in Him gives us freedom to continue to grow in Him, to live in Him, to rest in Him, and to serve Him, to do the things that He has set for us to do, even before the beginning of time. What would change in your life if you truly understood that? What would change in your life if you really understood that we are saved only by God's grace, not by works, not by any good thing that we could do, because we'll never measure up? And that we walk each day living in God's grace, understanding that it is His grace that we need in our life every day. How would your life change? How would it be different today? What if you didn't live in a performance trap? What if you truly understood that in Jesus, you're already enough? Because of grace, you're loved. Because of grace, you're chosen. Because of grace, you are free. Let that sink into our hearts today. Listen, we're not just here to survive in this Christian life, but we are here to thrive in the Christian life. And that thriving is not a thriving that the world would say, if you're thriving, you've got the biggest house, the nicest cars, you've got. That's not what we're talking about. When Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly," it's being able to rest in His joy. To have the joy that comes from Him, even when we're going through difficult times, hard times, good times, whatever it is, that we are living in the joy of the Lord. And that's why Jesus says, "Come to me," because that's where you're going to find true rest. Rest for the soul. We find it only in Him through His grace. And it's not because of how much we love Him first. It's because He loved us first. And because of His wonderful love for us and inviting us in, inviting us to come to Him, that we can know His true love and we can experience His grace and His joy. How would your life be different today if you truly, truly got this in your life? Let's pray together. Think about that question. Do you truly get God's grace and who you are in Him because of His love for you? Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you realized that God is inviting you to be a part of His family by grace just through what His Son did for you on the cross? Today, if you've never received that grace, then you can open up your heart to Him. Most important decision you can ever make in your life is following Jesus Christ. And He has made that opportunity possible, not by the good things that you could do, but through what Christ did for you on the cross. Believer, are you trying to still earn God's favor? Are you in a guilt trap because you don't feel like you're doing enough and you're drained and you don't feel like you can do any more? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Rest at His feet. Receive His grace. Understand His grace. Walk in His grace. Father, I thank You today for that wonderful grace. That grace that we do not deserve. We do not earn, but God, that You freely give. God, I pray that today, just remind us of that grace. For those that have not received that grace, that today would be the day for them today would be the day that they say yes to you. For those of us that have received that grace, God, help us to be reminded of that wonderful grace and how much we need that grace in our lives each and every day. And we stop trying to perform, but we just start living in you, in your grace, and the freedom that comes through that. Thank you for your wonderful love for us and all that you do. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.